May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm a little nervous today. I usually speak to our own little church family, and here today we have a whole other family, and it's a wonderful thing to have you all here with us. But I hope you will recognize that I am preaching as a mom preaches to her children. In today's readings, there are two really nerve-wracking moments for anyone who has ever tried to lead large groups of people. The first time is when the Israelites begin to complain to Moses about the conditions in the Exodus. And the second is when the chief priests and elders confront Jesus in the temple and demand to know by what authority he is teaching and continuing his ministry. Those are both very difficult challenges for leaders. I don't mean to always talk about my own personal experiences, but I have been in positions where I needed to motivate large groups of people and try to keep them unified. One of the most dramatic times, some of you may remember, was when I was responsible for managing a very long and challenging teacher's strike. Now, I know that there may be some of you that have negative feelings about union activities, but it is just a part of my background that I worked for the Teachers Association and dealt with things like that from time to time. For those of you who think that's awful, I can assure you that teachers are like doctors and nurses, and they feel a heavy responsibility for their students. So I just want you to know that the teachers I worked with would never, ever have gone on strike for frivolous reasons. Anyway, there were a lot of things that I learned during those 23 awful long days. The teachers were on strike. In the example that I'm thinking about today. For example, I learned that if we didn't start the day with a rally, it was likely to be a bad day. And Mondays, I learned, were especially bad. During the weekends, the teachers were home with their families, and the families were all feeling tremendous economic pressure. Anytime a teacher walked up to me and started talking by saying, "You know, my husband thinks that we really ought to quit this strike and go back to school," I felt like Moses. There were a lot of people to try to keep together, and it was so easy for some of them to wander away or get discouraged. There were too many emotional ups and downs, and it was so easy for them to forget the important principles they stood for in the first place. So I felt for Moses when the people started whining for water and complaining that Moses had just brought them out into the wilderness to die. Man, I have been there. And I didn't have God at my side to tell me something awe-inspiring that I could do to get the people back together and still headed in the right direction. I had to rely on pure power of persuasion. Sometimes I'd have to remind them for the 800th time that they went out on what they went out on strike for in the first place. Sometimes we would have a laugh. Sometimes we would have songs on the picket lines. And sometimes we would feed them abundantly. See, God knew what he was doing with those quail and the manna. Manna and quail, pizza and cake. Whatever works. The people had chosen to do something that they felt was extremely important. And my job was to help them get it done. In some ways, it should have been easy, like riding in the Grand Marshal's car at the start of a parade. But I'm telling you that it was hard, hard work. It's not great to lead a parade and turn around and find that there is nobody behind you. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not trying to equate what I did with what Moses did for the Israelites. I'm just pointing out that leadership, even divine leadership, is brutally tough. The other part of our readings today that is relevant to this same leadership crisis theme is when Jesus entered the temple and the chief priests and elders confronted him and demanded to know who gave him the authority to teach the way he was teaching. That, "Who do you think you are?" challenge to leadership is always a kick in the gut. Thank God Jesus didn't give up. He was quick enough to beat the chief priests and the elders at their own game. He asked questions of his own that made them stop and think. Leadership is incredibly hard, and we've heard these stories of the kind of trouble our leaders experience, from Moses right down to Jesus and the apostles. Our readings today have reminded us just what kind of sacrifices many of our leaders have made. For sure, being a religious leader does not make you immune from all the frustrating resistance that followers dream up. Why do you think that is? Why do people who apparently know God and intend to follow him make such a mess of it sometimes? Assuming that we're all trying to be loyal followers of Christ, why is it so hard? And where do we go astray? When was the last time that God asked something of you and you didn't do it? It's really easy for me to think of things that we're supposed to do, but most of us regularly ignore. Pray without ceasing. Attend worship regularly. Love your neighbor as yourself. I can get up in the morning and decide that I will pray once an hour during the day and forget all about it by 10 o'clock. For a lot of people, even attending church is a casual decision, no more important than whether or not to go to a movie. Why do we resent having to love people that we don't understand and we don't approve of? Why do we think that we're able to find our own way without the benefit of a leader? Why do we forget that Jesus is leading us somewhere better than we could ever imagine. Why do we do such a bad job of following Jesus when he sacrificed so much for us? Think about the question that Jesus asked the chief priests and the elders. Which was a better son? One who ignored the request after he promised to do it? Or the one who said he wouldn't do it and then did it in the end? God knows. Jesus knows that we wrestle with our human nature all the time. But he wants us to choose the right path and go where he is leading us. We can have faith that Jesus is the leader God sent to us. We can be assured that his motives are right. Therefore, as Paul said to the Philippians, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. He encourages us to follow our one true leader and work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So let me ask you, what kind of follower do you want to be? The one who says he follows Christ, but then doesn't? Or the one who struggles, but ends up being faithful in the long run? Which one are you? That's what's important in the end. Amen.